The following is the recording of an address given to the children by Mr. L. Larson at the Des Moines General Meeting in 1959.
Thank you. the girls turn 74. Well, let's sing the first and third verse of this one. 74.
Come, come, all
But the poet one, the brother, was asked this morning
How old do you think children should be, or children, let's see, how old should they get when they quit going to Sunday school? And he gave an answer, he's an extremist, I'm afraid, but he put it way out to 150. Well, you won't quit at that age, I'm quite sure, none of us. But anyway, this little song that comes to mind is number 21, and I won't read it if you want to take time to sing. But listen, all you children here, it doesn't make any difference how little you are, nor how big you are, and not the children at all. Nor how old you are, you have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And it's extremely precious to have that, but still more solemn to think. You, with your body, soul, and spirit, are going on into eternity, either saved or lost. Listen to this little song, number 21. How many children say, I'd like to go to heaven? Well, I think you'd all like to go, wouldn't you? But here it says, they never think that they must have their sins forgiven. Why? Before they can in glory be for Jesus Christ in glory be. Now notice the next verse. None, not one, can to glory go or dwell with God above, save they who Jesus know and taste a Savior's love. That's why, children, we have Sunday school, to let you hear what the Word of God has to say, to tell you about Jesus, how he loves you, and each individual he wants you to trust in him, just like you were singing that little song about the glad tidings. He wants all the boys but one. What? All the boys but one? Which one would that be? No, that isn't it. He wants all. And just think it is. All the boys. And how about the girls? All of them. Everyone. What do you want them to do? So trust in him. And what did you trust in? You'll have your sins forgiven. And then you go ahead. Then look at this. The holy words of truth declare no other grounds of entrance there. There is no other way. All you for fathers and mothers who are here today, if you have children, tell them that there's one way and one way only, and they can't enter into that way too young. Now notice the direction. But now, this living way is open, free, and little children may go in and happy be, may have their sins through Christ forgiven, the only way to enter heaven. Children, you know, get to thinking about these things, and we all do and be guilty of making these things too light and too easy. We don't think of the solemnity of it. But here are a few little verses found in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel by Luke. Oh, yes, say that's for old folks. Yes, it is. And it's not for any that are too old either, but it's for the children as well. And listen, children, right here in these few verses, you can find the way to be saved, the way to have your sin forgiven, and be sure that you can go to heaven, shall I say, when you die. Oh, no. Because if you die, yes. But when the Lord Jesus comes, and he might come today, to take home things of all the girls and all the boys, even if they have to be 150, if they only said it, take them all home to glory. Now listen to these few verses in the 23rd chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning at verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now down a little farther. Oh, we might be gone. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters in Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the
malefactor. That's a name, maybe, that you little folks don't know what it means, really. But anyway, to be plain about it, it was one of the thieves that was crucified there. That's why the scripture tells us. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation or judgment? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the 6th hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the 9th hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now the point in reading these little verses, and for the just a few moments that we have together, beloved friends, is to think of the solemnity of having been born into this earth. The very fact that you've been born here tells you're passing on because you can't stay here. But there is a way that tells us where we can go and be forever happy, like we sing in that little song, "Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God." Well, if we look back to the cross, when the work was finished, the very happy day, perhaps it's not the writer of the hymn was speaking of, but the very happy day was up there in heaven when God tore that veil in two in the temple from the top to the bottom so that poor sinners could come in and know that their sins are forgiven. But we want to be brief. We want to get you right close to the cross. We want you to see, God wants you to see who it is that's nailed to that cross. Oh, you said there were 3 people nailed to the cross. There were. He's just thinking from that side. Yes, there were 3. Over here was a thief. Over here was a thief. And in the middle of all, between them, was somebody else. Now, you all know who that was, don't you? You all know it was Jesus. But we won't take time to ask the question because time just goes to that. But you know it was Jesus. Well, now let's see. We think of what he had gone through. We think of his sufferings over there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not suffering on the cross there. No, but, oh, dear boys and girls, he was thinking of you. He was thinking of your sins. He was thinking he was going to bear them in his own body on the tree, and it meant that he would be forsaken of his father. His father? No. For he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You suppose that he meant you? Well, sometimes we sing a little song, "Down at the cross, for he took me in." Took me in his clarity. Who did he take in? Every one of you boys and girls did it to me, honey. Yes, he did. He took you in. He wants you to know your sins forgiven, and he prayed for it. But listen, he had to die before it could be done. He had to shed his own precious blood before your sins could be blotted out. Well, now here we are at the cross. Oh, my. They put Jesus on that little cross. And the psalm tells us about something, what it looked like there, and died there, and tells us, and so on. But we won't take time to turn to them, because there he hangs on that cross with a thief on either side. But wait a minute. What were those thieves doing? Well, in this gospel, it only tells about the one thief that kept on railing at the Lord Jesus, making fun at him when he's hanging on the cross. Well, if you're the son of God, why don't you save yourself and us? Did he want to be saved and go to heaven? Don't suppose he ever had anything like that in mind, did he want to get down to the cross? Didn't want to have to die that way. But if he did die that way, what would become of him if he didn't know Jesus? Well, he died in his sins, that's all. But anyway, he kept mocking the Lord Jesus, and the other people on the other side I don't know which side. I don't think that I'm trying to say which side he was on. But anyway, whichever it was, he looked at the other and says, "Don't you fear God?"
"What? Fear God? When you're under the same judgment as he?"
"What do you suppose that thief meant?"
"Well, something must have taken hold of him. Something must have had a work done in his heart and in his conscience when he heard Jesus say, 'Because my feet and my both tell us that they both mocked him.' But this one quit."
"When did he quit?"
"When he heard Jesus say, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do.' Do you think, dear still folks here today, that you want to go on sinning and doing things that are naughty when you think of Jesus dying for them? Not one. But we want to know when you're for or against it. For here are two thieves. Both have been against it. But now he says to the other thief, 'Don't you fear God when you're under the same judgment seat?' And listen, oh, how so? It hurts one to tell you. But you dear children who've been brought up in Christian homes, and whether you have a Christian father or mother or not, and perhaps some of you have not, dear boys and girls, if you die in your sins, you will have to say, 'It serves me right. I deserve to be here.' Why? Why? Look at these two thieves. They had both been against it. And very likely they both heard when the Jesus said, 'Father, forgive me.' But one only let in one ear, as we say, and out the other. But the other, oh, it took his conscience. It went down in his heart. They said, 'We deserve what we're getting. And think of it, fathers and mothers. If your children die in their sins, or if you die in your sins, you have to admit with regret for all eternity the fact that you didn't take the place with the other people who would believe you." "Well," he said to him again, "we can get what we deserve." "Or rather, maybe I should have said other, because you know, I might have got a cushion. But you know what I mean." "All right." "He said something more. He said something to Jesus. But he said to the other thief too, 'This man hasn't done anything wrong. He hasn't done anything amiss. But you and I have. We deserve what we get.' And then what he's doing, just what the Lord Jesus wants you to do this morning. He wants you to look to him. Dear children, look to Jesus. Look at him lifted up there on that cross. Look at his hands stretched out and nailed in that cruel tree. And hear his voice, 'Oh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do.' And then that thief said to Jesus, 'Lord, Lord Jesus, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom.'" Wait a minute. He had said he was God first. Would you fear God when you're under the same judgment? Then he said, "He's a man." Now that brings before us the whole secret of it all. That man who hung on that little cross could not have accomplished eternal redemption, could not put away sin, except by the sacrifice of himself, if he were not God as well as man. But he became a man in order that he could die. We sing in that little song, "For man his creature sin." Sometimes when we sing it, it might be nice to put it this way: "For me his creature sin." Boys and girls, are you the one for whom he died? Do any of you boys know one boy that's for whom Jesus died? Do any of you girls know just one girl for whom Jesus died? Now he died for all, you can say that, and that's true. But do you know one? Do you know one? Are you the one? Look in the mirror and see yourself and say, "Yes, sir. You are the very one for whom Jesus died." Take it to yourself. That's what that thief is. But just imagine the Lord being asked by a thief to remember me when you come in your kingdom. What would he want to remember a thief for? Oh, but look at the words that come from his loving heart. And oh, dear soul, today he's just the same. He's ready to save you, and he doesn't want anyone to die in this sin. No boy, no girl. And just think, all the wicked men and women that we see on earth today, they were once little boys and girls, just men and women, they were once little boys and girls, just like you. They've got boys, they have a body, a soul, and a spirit. But oh, how sad to see how many that are going on down the broad road. But anyway, did the Lord care to answer that thief? Huh. Listen to the words of love. He looked at that thief and said, honestly, truly, I say to you, who's speaking? Jesus. Can he speak with authority? Indeed he can. He's God the Son. But his Father he never would forsake him. His Father never forsook him. And his Father, he said, Father, forgive him. But what did he say to the thief? Oh, he said, listen, honestly, you today, doesn't mean that he just said it today, but he said, you're going to be with me today in paradise. Never mind the kingdom. You're going to be with me in paradise. Where is it? And what is it? Well, to be brief and simple, it is put right here in our chapter, and especially so for you dear folks who are here this morning, and especially you dear children. Well, but perhaps we might ask you a little question here. Some children are really too small, they do, aren't they? Some children are just too young, they don't understand. Yeah. And yet, you have seen mothers with their little babies in their arms, they say, oh, come to Mama. You're such a dear little baby. You mothers, why do you do that? There's no sense in talking that with your children. They don't understand a word you say. Don't they? Oh, wait just a little. They soon recognize that voice. They may not be able to tell you, but they do understand. There's something that takes place within that that can only be known in such places of relationship. And so the Lord Jesus says, you're going to be with me today in paradise. In paradise, where is it? Well, now, we're not sitting here because we don't get Paul and Luke's gospel, all the things that he suffered on that cross, or all that he went through. Luke isn't telling us all of that. We have to go to John's gospel to hear him say, it's finished. We have to go to Mark and Matthew to find him and say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But here it's all over with. And when it's all over with, what do you say? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, with a loud voice. And he gave up the ghost. He died willingly. He gave it. But who did he give his spirit to? Father. Now then, where is his Father? Well, where's paradise? It's where his Father is. Where are you going when you leave from here? Oh, wait a minute. Where does that thief go? Well, just about 3 hours, maybe a little bit more, before this, the Lord just said, you know what? You're going to be with me today in paradise. That's the best place there is in heaven. Because elsewhere we read that the Lord Jesus has been exalted to the very highest place in heaven and something more. Listen, folks. There isn't any other name under heaven, which means Savior. You have to have Jesus if you're going to be saved. There isn't any other name to which we gather where he pledges his presence on earth. No other name. But there's something more. And this is something the world does not believe and don't want. And another thing before we say that is this. God himself looks down into this world and commands the good boys and the good girls, the Christians, to walk in the path. No, that isn't it. But what does he do? He commands all men everywhere to do what? To repent. Repent of what? Why does he do it? What business is it? His will that we repent or not? Does he care? He does care. And why does he care? Listen, folks. That love that was told out so fully at Calvary when Jesus hung there and went through those hours and darkness, that tells why God didn't want him to come. But listen, in that very portion where he says, God now commands all men, all women, all children, everyone, to repent. What for? What for? Because he loves you. And why? What happens if you don't? Why, he wanted a day in which he's going to judge the world. And that's not even the great white throne. But he doesn't want you to come into judgment. So why won't you have to come into judgment? Because on Calvary's cross, Jesus bore the judgment that you and I deserve. Oh, beloved friends, the Lord Jesus wants you to come today. And when he was here on earth, you know what he did? Don't expect me to tell you what he did. I can only mention one little thing right now. When the mothers come bringing their children to Jesus, the disciples all take those little folks away from here. They're too little. and they might cry and make a disturbance. But what did Jesus do? Oh, no, you bring her. And when he did, why, he even tells us in this gospel, Luke, that he even took infants in his arms. Some of you folks maybe can tell. This one, the child ceases to be an infant. But he took it in his arms as he blessed him. And he called him afterwards his lad, too. Now, before we close, there's one little incident that comes to mind. Some of you may have heard this little thing before. But down in one of the southern states, there's a little cemetery out in the pine hills there. And there's a little rail fence around it, and a few graves. It's kind of a private cemetery. You know, a cemetery is a graveyard where they bury people. And so a relative is talking about that, and someone went over there one day to see it. And there in that cemetery, to the little marble slab beside the little grave, at the head of a little grave, and on it was written the name of a little boy who was just 5 years old. And here was the date when he was born, and here was the date when he died. And then sometimes, you know, people carve something else on these slabs. And on this one was carved two little words. Just two little words. Me too. Me too. What an epitaph to put on a tombstone. What do you mean by that? But the man who was there telling about it, you know what? That was my little brother. That was my little brother. He died when he was 5 years old. He lived in a house where they had the meeting. And between his room where he was born and the meeting, just a wall. Just a little petition. He sat together and heard the people read the Bible. Heard them tell about how Jesus had done what he had done. Heard them say about how they were all sinners. And whenever they mentioned anything like that, that little boy was listening. You children have got ears, haven't you? You've got eyes. You can hear. Do you listen? Friends, it's not men's voices, please, will you? Much as we'd love you, love to see a baby, it's Jesus himself. And that little boy was listening, and they said, well, we've all sinned. He said, me too. And they said, Jesus died for us. Me too. Oh, and multitudes of things. We haven't time to go into them. But he would just say, me too. Me too. Listen, friends, the door is Jesus. It's open wide. He's inviting you to come in. Now, which one of you today will go to him on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, if you died there, but me too, I want to claim you as my Savior. Children, what are you doing? There's joy in heaven when one sinner repents, and he wants all of you children to include yourself in that invitation that he does and accept it and come and receive the Lord Jesus today. Do it right now when you sit. And then, if you can't get down on your knees and tell him where you are, whisper up to him and say, Lord Jesus, you died for me. I want to be there too. But you know, going back to the thief, Jesus gave his life, but the thief didn't die from being crucified. Notice, they came out the soldiers and some said they stoned them to death, stoned the thief. But they went to one thief and then to the other. This one thief over here would say, where did he go? To paradise. Where was that? To be with Jesus. Where, Jesus? Why, he said, Father, to thy hands I commend my spirit. For there I know that he was only absent from his body, for they took him and put him in the grave. But the other poor thief, oh my, what's become of him? You'll never see him if you go to heaven. No. He won't be there. He's lost. He's gone to be with the devil and his enemy. And listen, children, receive Jesus now while you're on earth, and today is the time, and be forever with him, or otherwise, if you reject him and die in your sins, you'll be forever without him. But this is what they do to Jesus. Did they stone him? Did they break any bones from him? No, not a one. Why? Because God said he never would break a bone in him. And something else, there's another body. Oh, dear Christians, how marvelous is the thing that every truly born again soul on the face of the earth is a part of that risen man in glory. by the Holy Spirit, eternally linked to that man. All members of his body down here, and not one can ever be broken.